This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in the series Essentials for Living. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shares the power you need to live on, the principles you need to live by, and the purpose you need to live for, so that you're truly living and not just existing. First, we're excited to let you know that very generous friends of Daily Hope have stepped forward with a special $25,000 matching grant. That means any gift you give to help Daily Hope share God's Word with people everywhere will be doubled. So contact us right away. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's broadcast. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Using the Bible to Make Decisions.
Well, good morning. The last several weeks we've been in this series on essentials for 21st century living, and we said that you need five things. You need people to live with, you need principles to live by, you need a profession to live out, you need power to live on, and you need a purpose to live for. Now, we spent a couple weeks on people to live with and how to get connected to others. And last week, we began spending 2 weeks on principles to live by. And Tom talked to us about how to get into your Bible, how to get a grip or a grasp on your Bible, five ways to get into God's Word. Today, I want to take that to a little bit more application and talk about how to use your Bible to make decisions. Now, there's no doubt about it. Today we're faced with more decisions than ever before. Multiple choice culture is what we live in. And the problem is that sometimes seemingly insignificant or trivial decisions have major life-changing impact on your life. Would you agree with this? That sometimes little tiny decisions, just like a giant door swings on a small hinge, sometimes a small decision in your life can completely change the direction of it. I remember one time I decided that I was going to go to a little meeting. I was in college, and so I hadn't planned on going to it, but I went to the meeting, and I went in late, and I sat down on the back row of this meeting, and the only other person in the back row was this gorgeous, drop-dead, beautiful babe. And I said, I got to get to know this woman. So after the meeting was over, I asked her out for a first date. Her name was Kay. And 8 days later, we were engaged. Now, those of you who are single or want to get going to get my new book, How to Move Fast, in one easy step. Now, granted, we did date a long time. We're engaged a long time before we got married. But I've often wondered, what would have happened if I hadn't gone to that meeting that night, which I hadn't planned on going to, and just in the twists and turns of destiny, that's what God had planned. I did a little research this week on some really bad decisions in history. Really bad. For instance, Sam Phillips sold his small recording company to RCA Records in 1955 for $35,000. Now, it included an exclusive contract with a young man named Elvis Presley. So he unknowingly forfeited royalties on more than 1 billion records. Bad decision. Tom Selleck turned down the role for Indiana Jones. Bad decision. In 1938, Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel sold the rights to Superman for $65 each. Bad decision. Shall we say it together? Bad decision. All right. Recently, a South African hang gliding instructor saw a beautiful woman sunbathing on a roof below his flight pattern. He decided to make an obscene gesture at her. The woman's husband appeared with a submachine gun and blasted the birdman out of the sky. Bad decision. Right. Here was one about a criminal. A thief in Boston attempted to steal 2 live Maine lobsters, and he decided to stick them down his pants. Bad decision. All right. In Germany, a bank robber pulls out a gun and demands money. The teller says she needs to see his ID. So he pulls it out, takes the cash, and leaves the ID behind. Bad decision. Right. Three prison guards were fired for giving the prisoners a trampoline during exercise break because they were jumping over the fence. Bad decision, right. I asked my staff for some bad decisions in history. There was the high school girl who told Bill Gates, "It's either me or the computer." Okay. Two words, the Pinto. Putting the intern office in the White House. Bad decision. And then my favorite one, pausing briefly before answering your wife's question, "Do I look fat in this?" Really bad decision. Now, what is the key to making wise decisions in life? Well, the answer is to listen to God. Listen to God. Look at this verse at the top of your outline, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 5 and 9. If you want better insight and discernment, learn the importance of reverence for the Lord and of trusting Him. He shows how to distinguish right from wrong and how to find the right decision every time. You want to make good decisions? Listen to God. Now this morning I have a very practical message for you. We're going to look at six practical ways, biblical ways, to test a decision. This week I was getting a haircut, and boy, doesn't it look nice, by the way? And the lady who was giving me the haircut, she says, "You know, how do you know when God is talking to you? How do you not know you're not just making it up? And how do you know what God wants you to do?" That's a good question. Today, we're going to look at some of the answers, six principles, guidelines for decision making. Now, parents, you really need to teach these to your kids, because these are how you figure out what God wants you to do. There are more than these in the Bible, but these are six that are right at the top. And let's get right into it. Number one is the first test, and I call it the ideal test. And the ideal test is it in harmony with God's word? Is it in harmony with God's word? What I'm about to do, does God say it's okay to do in the Bible? Now, always this is the very first decision you want to look at, the first test, and that is, what does God have to say about it? Now, we've talked about this before, that in life, you have to decide what's going to be your ultimate authority. And it really boils down to two choices. God's word is going to be your authority for life, on which you base your decisions, or the world is going to be what you base your decision on. The word or the world, what God says or what other people say. Now, if you base your life on popular opinion, on what is currently, you know, the end thing to do, you're always going to be out of date because it keeps changing every day. And what used to be in yesterday is not in today, and what's in today will not be in tomorrow. And so opinions of the world change quite frequently. You have a very shifting foundation. You do not have principles to live by if you base your life on simply popular culture, political correctness, or opinion polls. On the other hand, if you base your life on God's word, the truth never changes. Truth is always true. So if God says something was wrong 10,000 years ago, it was also wrong 5,000 years ago, it was wrong 500 years ago, it is wrong today, and it will be wrong 1,000 years from today. Now, I don't care what the opinion polls say. I don't care what political correctness says. I don't really care what is given to us on television or in the media. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And it has always has been, and it always will be. On the other hand, if God says it's right, it will always be right. So you can either build your life on a shaky foundation that is constantly changing, the opinions of the world, or you can build your life on what God says, which is never changing, which gives you a solid foundation while everything else is up in the air. Now, God has set up the universe with certain laws, universal laws. There are physical laws, we know these, like the law of gravity is a law of the universe. What goes up comes back down. There are moral laws and there are spiritual laws. God built the universe around these laws, not because he's a capricious God or just arbitrarily said, "Well, I'm going to make these laws up." They are all for your benefit. They're all for your benefit. When you cooperate with the principles in this universe, you succeed. Life is easier. When you reject, rebel, disobey, ignore God's principles, you're the one who gets hurt. See, really, you don't ever break God's laws. They break you. If I go up on top of a building and I jump off, I don't break the law of gravity. It breaks me. And the same is true with moral laws and spiritual laws. You cannot just thumb your nose to God and get away with it. There is inevitably a reckoning. So anytime you violate God's principles, you're asking for trouble. So the first question, obviously, in a decision is, what has God said about it? If God says it's okay, then I'll do it. If God says no, I don't do it. It doesn't matter what anybody else says or thinks or if 99% of the people are doing it. If God says no, I'm not going to do it. You know, recently I had to go up in the attic of our house and the light had burned out up there. And when I was walking around in the dark, I just kept bumping my head. And I thought, you know, I need a flashlight. Now, sometimes in life, when you're making a decision, you're in the dark. And you don't know what decision, you know, do I do this or do I do this? Or do I do A, B, C, D, or E? And really, you're in the dark until you get a flashlight for life. What is that? It is this book, the Bible. Notice the next verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. It is the flashlight for life. It is the owner's manual for life. It's life's big instruction book. And the Bible says that it's there for your benefit. So you ask, is what I'm about to do in harmony with God's word? Now, let's be honest. Sometimes understanding God's principles is very difficult. Would you agree with this? Sometimes you go, no, why did God say that? And from a human standpoint, it doesn't make sense. This week I was talking to somebody and they said, you know, why does God say sex is only for marriage? You should not have sex outside of someone you're married to. Why does he say, well, I can give you 9 or 10 good reasons for that one. But a lot of people go, well, why has God said that? There are many principles like, why does God say the first 10% of all we make goes back to him in a tithe? Why does he say that? Let me give you a little secret. You don't have to understand God's principles to be blessed by them. You just have to follow them. You don't have to understand why God says what he does. In fact, God is God and you're not. So he can make up any rules he wants to because he's the creator and you're not. But if you cooperate with him, even when you don't understand them, you obey them, you're going to get blessed. I do not understand electricity. I don't understand how it works. But it doesn't stop me from taking advantage of it. So I turn on lights and I listen to CDs and I watch television. I get all the benefits of electricity without understanding it. I don't understand internal combustion and the physics of that. But it doesn't keep me from driving a car. And you don't have to know why God has said what he has said in the Bible to benefit from it. All you have to know is if I follow it, he did it for my benefit and I'm going to be blessed as a result. If I ignore it, I'm going to be the one that gets hurt. Now, the oldest temptation known to man is the temptation to doubt God's word. And whenever we, you know, find something in the Bible that we don't like, or we think is maybe a little restrictive, or it seems a little outdated or antiquated or old-fashioned, we go, you know, I don't know if I like that one or not, that statement, that principle, that command. Well, then we start to doubt God's word, and we start saying, well, now, does the Bible really say you can't do this? Does the Bible really say, did God really mean it? Anytime you start thinking that question, friend, you have fallen for the oldest trap in the world. It was Satan's original temptation. It was the one he used on Adam with the very first human being. One day, the devil comes to Adam and goes, did God really say you shouldn't eat of this tree? What is he doing? The oldest temptation is the temptation to doubt God's word. Whenever you doubt God's word, you're getting in trouble. Whenever you doubt God's word, you're doubting his love. God, I don't really think you love me. I don't think you know what's best. And you're headed down a very slippery slope. So when making a decision, the first test is, what does God say about it?
Tom's going to talk about the next one.
The second test is the integrity test. With the second test, you want to ask yourself the question, what I want everyone to know about this decision that I'm making. You see, if you're making a decision and you worry that other people are going to find out about this decision that you're making, then it's most likely, it's a very good indication that it's a bad decision. Because bad decisions like that always lead to secrets, and those kinds of secrets always lead to pain in our lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 there in your outline. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. Now, notice it doesn't say might be found out or even there's a high probability that you're going to be found out. You will be found out. And so when making decisions, you have to have the integrity test. Now, we've all seen how this happens. Before you're about to make a bad choice, you know it's a bad choice. You know it's probably not the choice you should make. But before you make the choice, you think to yourself, well, I'll go ahead and do it because no one will ever know. No one will ever know. And immediately, the moment you make that choice, what do you start thinking? Someone's going to find out. And you feel that fear that comes from that. That's when you violated this integrity test. The test of integrity is that your public life and your private life match. That's what's in your heart and what's in your life are the same thing. That your walk and your talk, what you say and what you do are in harmony with each other. And the truth is, when it comes to integrity, even if you can fool everyone else, you can't fool yourself. And if you violate your own conscience, you have to pay for that. Look at James chapter 4, verse 17. In fact, let's read this verse together. Knowing what is right to do and then not doing it is sin. Even if I know the right thing to do and violate my conscience and choose not to do it, it is sin. So one of the questions to ask yourself when making any decision is, can I do this with a clear conscience? Because every time you violate your conscience, it's a big mistake. Sometimes we think this way. We know we're about to do the wrong thing. We know we shouldn't do it, but this thought comes to our mind. You know, if even though it's wrong, I know I'm doing the wrong thing, but I'm going to go ahead and do it, I think, because I know that God will forgive me. God will forgive me. He's a forgiving God. What kind of fool do you think God is? That I could go ahead and make a decision to do something that he says is wrong and that it's not going to have consequences in my life. That's the very reason he doesn't want me to make that decision, is because he loves me, not because he wants to keep me from having fun. There are consequences to every decision. And every bad decision always leaves scars in our lives. Over and over and over again as a pastor, I have seen people who have made decisions, they knew they were wrong, and they found that that biblical law and that natural law, whatever you sow, you're going to reap, happened once again in their lives. That's the way that it works in life. Now, does this mean that God does not forgive us for the wrong things we do? Of course he forgives us. He's a forgiving and gracious God. But that forgiveness does not free us from the pain and the consequences that come from bad decisions. You can be forgiven and still have the regrets. You can be forgiven and still face the pain. You can be forgiven and still have to struggle with the low self-esteem from that decision. You can be forgiven and still have to have the broken relationship because you made that decision. Forgiven and still lose the rewards. Now, when we think about things that we know are wrong, it's easier than with the gray areas. How do you decide with these gray areas and the integrity test? Is this right or is this wrong? There's a Bible verse for that too. Romans chapter 14:14 says this. If someone believes that something is wrong, then he shouldn't do it. He shouldn't do it because for him it is wrong. This verse very simply says, when in doubt, don't. Because it's a violation of the integrity test, that whatever is not from faith in our lives is sin.
The third way to test the decision is what I call the improvement test, and that is, will it make me a better person? Will it make me a better person? The Bible talks about this in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 23. It says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And not everything is constructive. Now notice the freedom we have here as Christians. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial, and not everything builds you up. It's constructive. What is he saying? He's saying that some things are not necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. They're not essential. It's not a matter of between good and bad. It's a matter between what's good and what's the best.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, we have some really exciting news. Generous friends of Daily Hope have offered a $25,000 matching grant. That means whatever you give to help share the hope of Jesus worldwide will be doubled by the grant. But don't wait, because we only have a few days to meet this match. Any amount not met will be lost. So please act quickly. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody.
Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
When you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere. And right now, your gift will be doubled by a $25,000 matching grant. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004, and we'll send you Going Deeper with God, a personal renewal retreat to say thanks. Again, that's PastorRick.com or the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. Join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.